just review for a second, just to get our heads back in the game a little bit, to understand what we were up to. Okay, we started the seventh parak last time, and we started going into the world of the opening point of the Shaar Yichud V'Emunah, which is that there's something called Yichuda Ilah, and there's something called Yichuda Tata. There's something called Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And there's something that we understand as Baruch Shem Kavod, Malchuso Li'olam Ve'ed. And we explained that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu at his essence, and there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu as manifest within time and space. That was one of our big themes last time, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through various tzimtzumim, allows himself to what? To be presented to the Am. If you remember, he had this beautiful arichas about how a melech requires an Am, a king requires a nation. And an Am, we said, is milashon omamos, which means like a coal that's dimmed. What does that mean? The Am represents the people not in the palace, not the children of the king, not the closest confidants of the king, not the noble people, the noblemen who have access to the king. The farther the king's reach is, the greater the king is. Berov Am, right? The more Am, hadras melech, the greater the honor of the king is. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be able to express himself within finite reality, within Makom and Zman, even though the essence of Hashem is found beyond, of course, Makom and Zman. And we started to explain last time, towards the end, that this is the idea of the Pasuk in Malachi, Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi. Again, the Yesod is that everything seems to have changed, but nothing has actually changed. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, Lo Shanisi, I never changed. Nothing changed. There used to not be a world, now there is a world. No, there used to only be Hashem, and there's still only Hashem, Enon Mavado. Now there's a perception that there's a world, right? Or like we say in davening, Atahu ad shelo nivra ha'olam, and Atahu v'chulu. Right? You alone existed prior to creation, and you, Atahu, the same Atah, exist now after creation. There's nothing other than you. Again, there's a perception that we exist. And again, that's something that Hashem wants us to perceive, but also not to lose sight of the higher truth, which is Einon Mevado, that there's nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu even after creation. And then we started to discuss the idea of the Rambam, where the Rambam brings an idea which is agreed upon, the Baal HaTanya says by the Mekubalim, that Hashem is one with His knowledge. Right? This was the last point we spoke about last time. That when we learn something new, so there's me, there's my soul as is, and then I learned a new idea. Today I was learning the sugya of Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Suda, right? Kiddush B'Makom Suda. Okay, so I knew less about that a week ago than I do today. So now I've added a new dimension to my soul, but it's an add-on. It's not one with my soul. It wasn't inherent. On a certain level, it's inherent to my soul, because my soul is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? But from a revealed level, I added a dimension of understanding to my soul. From Hashem's perspective, Hashem is one with His knowledge, which means that anything that Hashem knows, that itself is its existence, and Hashem is one with it. And therefore, Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, it doesn't undergo transformations from Hashem's perspective. And again, what we're setting up here, and we'll continue to elaborate now, is sort of this higher and lower reality. The higher reality, which is also the truth of the lower reality, is there's nothing besides Hashem. But in the higher reality, we see that clearly. In the lower reality, we're being tricked. Our eyes are deceiving us. Right? We think we're an independent ray of light that has left the ball of the sun, when really we still exist within the sun. Now, obviously, this is a hard idea for us to wrap our heads around. So therefore, says the Baal HaTanya, and again, this is really the conclusion of the words of the Rambam, because this concept is so hard for us that something could be one with itself, right? That Hashem is the Yodea, the knower, and Hashem is the Yadua, Hashem is that which is known, and Hashem is the Dea itself, Hashem is the knowledge itself. Because that concept is hard for us, because we see things as being disparate things. Al Kain Amar Hanavi ki gavu shamayim me'aretz. Just like the great expanse, the distance between the heaven and the earth, so too, my ways are so different than your ways, Hashem says. When you learn something, there's you, and now there's this new idea that you've acquired. By me, Hashem says, it's different. Right? My way of thinking is not your way of thinking. It's radically different. Uksiv, and similarly the pasuk says in Iov, Hacheker Elokotimtza. What, through your cheker, through your intellectual inquiry, Elokotimtza, you'll be able to grasp God? You won't. You can think about it all day. The way your brain is programmed to think is different. Ha'ine basar lach imkeros enosh tir'eh. Or furthermore, it says in Iov, do you have eyes of flesh, Hashem, to see things the way that we see them? And the answer is no. Our eyes of flesh are tricking us to see a physical reality that's not even real. So, Hashem, do you see it that way? And the answer to the question, it's rhetorical. The answer is no, Hashem doesn't see it that way. Sha'adam roa viodea kol edvarim biyadia shechutz mimeno. When we learn something, it's external to ourselves, and now we acquire it as part of our way of thinking. It becomes an add-on to our soul. V'akadosh baruch hu biyadias atzmo. But Hashem, through the awareness of himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his knowledge is one with himself. Ad kan leshono, this are the words of, again, the Rambam in Hilchos Yisorei HaTorah. Ve'eskimo imo chachme HaKabbalah, and the chachme HaKabbalah agree to this notion that Hashem is one with his knowledge, as we find in the writings of the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero, the great Mekubal, in his Pardes Rimon. So now the Baal HaTanya says one of the most important paragraphs we're going to learn in this entire sefer, and that is the mistake that people make with regard to tzimtzum. The Arizal talks about a concept of tzimtzum, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was an or Ein Sof, an infinite light that filled all of reality, and in order to create the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu what contracted his light, and he made space. He moved himself out of the picture. He made what's called in the writings of Kabbalah and Chassidus a chalal panoi, an empty space. Right? Hashem took himself out of the way to make room for what? To make room for us. But says the Baal HaTanya, don't for a second think in a literal fashion that ever happened, because it never happened. It never happened. There's a perception that happened. There's a perception of tzimtzum. There's no such thing as an actual, there was no actual tzimtzum that took place. Says the Baal HaTanya, nothing changed. Ani Hashem lo shanisi. I am God and I never changed. Ani Hashem, yud kei vav kei. Haya, hove, yeyeh. It always was, it is, and it always will be. Nothing changed. V'ine mikan yesh lahavin shigigas miksas chachamim be'enehem. And from here we can understand the error that some chachamim have made. Hashem yichaper ba'adam. Hashem should forgive them for this mistake, because it's a serious mistake, chevra. Sheshagu v'tahu bi'yunam b'kisvei ha'arizal. They made an error. They made a mistake. They were misguided in their understanding of the writings of the Arizal. V'heivinu inyan ha'tzimtzum ha'muzkar sham kipshuto. That's a very important line. Underline it if you have the sefer in front of you. If you want. I don't know. You know, just a recommendation. You can do whatever you want. But I would underline it if I was you. Why? Because what's he saying here? This is the terrible mistake that people make, to think that tzimtzum is kipshuto, literally. Literally, there used to be more God in the world, and now Hashem, what? Contracted that light, he pushed himself out of the way, he squeezed back his light, he channeled his light into a tighter space to make more room for what? For us, for human beings, for the planet, for stuff, for animals, for grass, for the sun, the moon, and the stars. Hashem made space for us. Kipshuto, that's a terrible mistake. To think that the tzimtzum, that the contraction of Hashem's presence, the removal of God, is literal, kipshuto, is a terrible mistake. The mistake being, Shakadosh Baruch Hu silek atzmo umahuso chas v'sholom yolam haza. That Hashem removed his essence, God forbid, from this world. Don't say that. As if Hashem is out there and we're down here. Rak shemashgiach milamala bashkacha pratis. Again, this is all the mistake. They mistakenly claim that Hashem is watching Bashkacha Pratis from above. Al kol ha'yitzurim kulam. Hashem is watching, so to speak, looking down on us. Hashem b'shamayim ma'av al'aris b'tachas. Right? Hashem, so to speak, has the highest position. And he looks down, not just on, you know, jackcats and Muncie, but he looks down through all the worlds, right? And he sees the higher worlds. He looks down on the angels, and he looks down to the world below that, and worlds below that, and worlds below that. Until Hashem is looking down through that little window in my basement, and he's looking at us learning Tanya. Right? God forbid to say such a thing, because that puts Hashem very far away from us. And the reality is, Hashem, there's nothing other than Hashem. We are nothing other than an extension of Hashem. We need to know that. V'hine milvad she'yafshar klal. Lo mar inyan atzimtzum kipshuto. So in addition to the fact that it's such a terrible mistake, it's not possible to explain Hashem removing himself. Hashem is reality. Hashem can't remove himself. Hashem just is. He is all of reality. You can't undo that. Shehu mimikre ha'gof, because to say that God could physically contract himself, to squeeze himself, to make himself into a smaller space, to say such a thing is mimikre ha'gof. To say such a thing would mean that God has physical attributes, physical properties, like a body. You put more food into it, it grows. And you starve yourself, it gets smaller. Hashem doesn't get bigger and smaller. To say al kadosh baruch hu, hanivdal mehem riboy revavos havdalos adin kates. To say such a thing, to put a kadosh baruch hu into limitations like that, is not. You can't say such a thing. Avgam zos lo bedas yidaberu. Such a thing is spoken erroneously. It's spoken in vain. Me'achar shehem ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. Shekadosh baruch hu yodea kol yitzurim shebafu mashgiach aleihem. So they claim that what Hashem removed himself, but he's watching very carefully. So it says the Baal HaTanya, Stira Minei Ubei. If you yourself believe, Me'acher Shem Aminim, if you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything that's happening with us, and Hashem, as we just learned from the Rambam, is what? Is one with his knowledge. That means if he knows, he's present. His knowledge is not separate from him. Our world, our knowledge can be separated from my essence, so to speak, whatever that means. But by Hashem, he's one with his knowledge. That means if he knows, if he's heard of an Ami Bloom, right? If he knows about Ami Bloom, that means that in a sense he is Ami Bloom. Ami Bloom is a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. So it's not Hashem Mashkiach. He knows it, but he's not here. You can't say such a thing, says the Baal HaTanya. Hashem knowing it is synonymous with what? With being present. So Hashem knowing doesn't add anything. It's not that Hashem knows about us as, you know, Hashem's keeping track of the 7.5 billion people in the world as additional things for Hashem to be mindful of. It's one with Hashem. All that Hashem knows is through self-knowledge. So if Hashem knows about Jeremy Ashegian, so then Hashem is present, fully present. It's not Hashem's watching from above. If he knows it, that Hashem is one with his knowledge. So chever, this is what it means when it says in the Tikkuni Zohar, in Tikkun Nun Zayin, Deleis Asar Panoi Minei. Words that the Baal HaTanya uttered who knows how many countless times. That the Baal HaTanya makes it famous to us. Deleis Asar. There is no Atar. What's an Atar? There's no Asar. There's no place. Right? Like the Mora da Asra. You call the rabbi of the town the Mora, the halachic authority, the teacher, right? The posek of the Asra, of the Atra, of the place. So the Leis Atar, there's no place, Panoi Minei, that is devoid of him, that is empty of Hashem. Hashem is not more in certain places as opposed to other places. Hashem is not more at the Kotel than he is in your bathroom. Hashem fills all of reality. Leis Asar Panoi Minei. Lo bi'ilayin, v'lo b'tachtoin. Hashem is not more up there than he is down here. Not above, not below. Or like it says in the Zohar, in the section, the Raya Mehemna, Parshas Pinchas. Ihu tafis b'chola, v'leis man de tafis bei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu grasps all. Tafis means to grasp. Hashem grasps all. Hashem knows all. Hashem is all. V'leis man de tafis bei. But we don't grasp him. In other words, right? Sort of. So it kind of goes back to that question. So if Einod Mavado, if there's nothing other than Hashem, that means I'm God. No, you're not God. So how does that work? Ihu tofis bekola, Hashem is you, but you're not him, right? He grasps you, but you don't grasp him. Ihu sovev kol almin. As much as Hashem is fully present within the world, Hashem remains somehow at the same time surrounding the world, above the world, beyond the world. V'leis man dinafik mirshusei levar. There is no one who is nafik, who goes out from his reshus lebar to the outside. Ihu mamale kolamin. Hashem fills, mamale, he fills all worlds. Ihu mekasher umiyachid zina lezine. Hashem connects a thing to its mate, so to speak. I levatata, above and below. He ties it all together. Vales kurva bedalid yesodin ela bekutcha brichu, kad iu benayu. And there is no connection or expression of the dalid yesodin, of the substance of this world, other than through what? Through a Kadosh Baruch Hu, uniting it all. So Hashem is the life force of all. But what we're going to come to explain now is how does the Tzimtzum work, right? So how does Hashem contract His light to such a degree that it becomes David Lifshitz? Right? Meaning, if it's really Hashem, so what is Tzimtzum? It's not literal. God forbid. No, Hashem didn't leave, right, to leave a space in that chair for David to sit in that chair. That would be a perversion of what we believe. So how does it work? Right? How does it actually work? Rotza Lomar, that is to say, what the Zohar is saying, Leis man de tofis bay, she'ein mi she'yitvos ba'asaga sichlo, mikol sicholim ha'elyonim b'muhuso v'atzmuso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no one. There is no malach, there's no Talmud Chacham, there's no person in the world, there's no being in the world that can grasp and understand the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As it says in the Tikkunim, sesima mikol sesimin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden from even ones that are hidden. There's things that we don't understand, which are not God, and we still don't understand them. Right? There's teachings of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the Zohar. We'd open it up, we'd say, ah, it's totally hidden from me. Right? And Hashem is hidden from beyond that. So Hashem is hidden from even that which is hidden from us. In other words, we're not even close to grasping Hashem. V'leis machshava tvisa b'chlal. And no mind can grasp the essence of Hashem at all. So now we have to enter into that world, that space of memale kol almin, how Hashem fills the world, even though the world looks like it's made up of all sorts of things, it's all sorts of other things. And then we have to zoom out and say, and despite being fully within the world, we have to still put Hashem on a pedestal and say, sovev kol almin. Hashem somehow remains above and beyond the world. Okay, so let's see if we can figure that out. V'gam b'tachtonim, afagav di'ihu memale kol almin. We have to understand what it means that Hashem fills all of worlds. How does that work? Right? Is Hashem filling the world the way that my body is filling this sweater? Or the way that my neshama is filling my body? What does it mean to fill something? Eino kenishmas ha'odam toch gufo. It's not like the neshama that fills the body. Right? Hashem is not filling in the way that we, you know, picture something, a physical object filling a space. Shehi nitfeses toch haguf. When the neshama is what is in the body and it fills the body, it's nitfes. In other words, it's understood or it's connected, it's grasped by the body. What does that mean? That means the neshama will feel the experiences of the body. The neshama will be affected by the experiences of the body. Why is it that when your body is in pain, it's hard for your neshama to rise above it? Why is it that when you're sick, when your body is sick, your neshama has a hard time davening? Why? Why are they connected? Why is neshama and guf not two separate things? Because your neshama fills the body and is connected to the body. Ad shemispa'eles u'mekabeles shinuyim mishinoi haguf etzaro. To the point that the neshama is impacted and receives from the changes that affect the body. When the body is in pain, mahakos, okrirus, ochamimus, if you hit the body, the neshama feels that. If it's cold, if it's hot, the neshama is responsive to that. Even though a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and this is a very delicate point, Hashem fills all of physical reality, and yet somehow is not affected by it, remains above it. He's mamale kol almin, and yet he's fully present, much more than we're even present in our own space, and yet Hashem still remains above it. Ani Hashem lo shanisi. Again, the pasuk in Malachi. I am Hashem and I don't change. I don't change according to the weather patterns. I don't change according to the change of time. She'einu makabel shum shinoi mishinoi olam hazeh. Hashem is not affected, not mikayetz l'choref, miyom l'layla, not summer, not winter, not day, not night. Gam choshech lo yachshech mimeko. Like it says in Tehillim, darkness is not dark for you. V'layla kiyom yair. By Hashem, night shines bright like day. Lefi she'eno nitfas klal tocha olamos, af agav demamalelon. What an amazing, again, there's so many paradoxes that the Baal HaTanya forces us to try to wrap our head around. Hashem, you fill the world more than anything, and yet, you're not really. What do you mean? You're filling the whole world, yet the world doesn't grasp you. Even though you fill the whole space. Right? Imagine sticking your hand. I don't know why this muscle just popped into my head. You know, like in an arcade, those games where you try to use the claw to catch a prize? Right? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? So you try to line it up and you try to get it in the right spot and then you hit the button and the claw goes down and you try to grab the prize and you pick it up and then it always slips out at the last second and okay. So if the space was more full, right, in a certain sense, if you stuck your hand into something where there's a lot to grasp, so mamela, you would grasp something. The more full something is, if you stick your hand into a bucket, right? Someone tells you, stick your hand into this bucket and pull out a prize. Right? You have 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. So if the bucket is full, you're for sure going to grab something on your way out. If the bucket is mostly empty, you only have 3 seconds, you're feeling around, you may not grasp it. The more full something is, probably the easier it is to grasp it. Right? The more of it that's in front of me, the more I can probably pick it up. I can touch it. The irony is Hashem fills everything. Hashem is so present. Hashem, you should be able to feel Hashem everywhere. He fills all of reality. And yet, it still remains beyond that. You can't really grasp it in your hand. It has to be the most present and the most hidden at the same time. It's not nitpas. It can't be grasped by the world. It can't be held onto. It slips through your fingers, even though it's so present. And that's the mistake people made. If Hashem is so present, so why can't I grasp it? It must be that Hashem's not really here. Hashem moved out of the way to make room for me. Says the Baal HaTanya, no. Hashem is memale kol almin. Hashem fills the entire world. Hashem fills the entire world and yet remains above it, is not affected by what? By the mikre ha'olam, by the experiences of this world. We are affected, or we perceive ourselves as being affected by summer, by winter, by day, by night, by experiences. Hashem is fully here and yet remains beyond. V'zeh gam ken inyan soveh kol almin. And that is the idea. These two ideas working together, filling the world and what? And surrounding the world. Hashem being present and being above and beyond at the same time. Right? That's the concept of Sovev Kol Almin. Perish Derech Mashal. Let's explain with a Mashal. Kisha Adam is bonin be'ezer davar chachma besichlo. O davar gashmi b'machshavto. When a person thinks about an idea, or a person pictures a physical thing. So I want you to picture a toy boat. Okay, everyone close your eyes for a second and picture in your mind a toy boat. Try to see its dimensions, try to see its colors, its shapes, right? Try to see what it's made out of. Try to picture the toy boat, okay? So now, the picture is very real in your mind, right? You could see it. You're grasping it on a certain level. On a certain level, you're grasping it. So when a person pictures a davar gashmi, azay sichlo machshavto, makifim ala davarhu. Your mind is now surrounding that thing. That picture, right, is so to speak within that bubble of your mind. Right? Your mind is surrounding it, and now in the middle is that picture of the toy boat. I don't know why I picked that example, but okay. Hametsuyer machshavto besichlo, which is being imagined, which is being painted in your mind. Ach ein makifim al davarhu mamish bepoel mamish. But when you think about a toy boat, that doesn't mean if we cut open your head, we would see a toy boat inside. Right, the object mamish is not there, but Hashem, when Hashem thinks something, it is. Hashem is thinking right now. Hashem is thinking right now, right, about Alex, and that's why Alex exists right now. That's unbelievable. The thoughts of Hashem are reality. When Hashem is thinking differently, we think about something, it's an image in our mind, it's a picture in our mind, but you can't touch it, it's not real, it's not tangible. But by Hashem, lo machshav osai machshav osaychem, I think differently. Machshav tov yidiyaso, shi yodea kol nivraim, makefes kol nivra, v'nivra v'pol mamish. Hashem envelops that idea to such a degree that we become that idea. That idea becomes our reality. It makes it a reality. If Hashem is thinking about it, and Hashem is one with his thoughts, and Hashem is all of existence, that means anything Hashem thinks about exists. So if I feel like I exist, it's because Hashem is thinking about me right now. What an amazing idea. I'm existing, so to speak, within Hashem's mind, but not in a theoretical way, though, when we picture something in my mind. the object doesn't exist. When Hashem thinks about us, we mamish exist. We exist within that space of Hashem's mind. Umemale kol almin. So let's go back again. Umemale kol almin. Hashem fills all space. He bechinas hachayus hamislabeshes toch etzem hanivra. That is the life force that contains itself within every created being. Right? Hashem is filling my entire being right now. Right? And the whole world is filled with nothing other than the presence of Hashem. But shehi mitzumtzemes besocho bitzimtzum rav kifi erech mohus hanivra. But it's undergone a perspective, again, it's not literal, the tzimtzum. It's undergone a perception of various tzimtzumim in accordance with the created being. In other words, sometimes that presence of Hashem is perceived to be constricted into the form of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Sometimes that presence of Hashem is constricted even further. The light is even more, you know, suppressed, more contracted, to the point that it becomes this cheap little pen that I'm holding in my hand. On a certain essential level, there's no difference between the Gadol Hador and this pen in my hand. But through the perception, right, it looks like it's become more, there's more tzimtzumim, there's more layers of hiding, so to speak, of perceived, you know, contractions in order to create, so to speak, a lower thing. So in other words, let's think of it like this, and this is sort of going to be the punchline tonight. Hashem speaks, or Hashem thinks. Right? Let's talk about speech, because that's really where our sefer started. We just introduced how Hashem thinks and He creates. Let's talk about speech. Hashem speaks. Hashem says, Vayomer Elokim, right? Hashem says, let there be light, yehi or, vayehi or. Hashem says, vayehi or. Now, does this lamp that's sitting on my desk, which also is radiating light, how is it connected to the yehi or of the Chumash? Right? So if you remember, we learned, well, you know, I mean, the Torah doesn't say, let there be a lamp on Moshe Tzvi's desk in Bergenfield. You can't find that pasuk in the Chumash, right? At least not with my physical eyes. I'm not gonna see those words in the Chumash. But if I look deeply at the letters of the Torah, and I start manipulating the letters, not using manipulative in a bad way, but start exchanging the letters, and I start using chalufei osios, and I start using gematrias, and I start using atbash, forwards and backwards, and I start using all sorts of, then somehow, in some variation of those original words that Hashem spoke, yihior, somehow through the various exchanges will come out this lampshade. So in a certain sense, this object to my left is actually an expression of the Dvar Hashem. It's rooted in those opening words of Bereishis. I look at it, I don't see the words Yehi Or on it. And yet, if I had deeper spiritual eyes, I'd be able to look at it and sort of follow it back up, all the way back to the Yehi Or, back to the breath of Hashem, back to Hashem Himself, Mamish. So everything undergoes in accordance with its erech, in accordance with its value, in accordance with its mahus, with its nature. It undergoes various tzimtzumim. Shehu bal gvul v'tachlus bekamuso v'echuso. Dehainu ma'alaso v'chashivuso. Hashem has to make something in a contracted form in order for us to be able to interact with it. Again, this is the reason why tzimtzum is the biggest brach in the world. Because if Hashem wouldn't create a perception of hiding, then we wouldn't exist. We would just be one with Hashem and we wouldn't be able to feel like our own thing. We like feeling like our own thing. I like being me, and I hope you like being you. But I also have to remind myself that there's no me and there's no you on an essential level. Let's take the sun. Kigon Hashemesh, he says. Let's take the sun. Shegufo yeshlo gvul v'tachlis bekamuso. The sun is a physical entity. It can be measured. It has a size. It has a shape. It has a location. The Shemesh, its guf, has a gvul. It has limitations, boundaries, borders. It has a specific purpose, right? Shehu kmo kuf samach zayin pa'amim kegodol kador ha'aretz. It's approximately 167 times the size of Earth. Okay, interesting number, 167. That's the number of psukim, by the way, in Megillas Esther. So mishnechlas adar marv besimcha. You can think about the relationship between the sun and the Earth to Megillas Esther and the Torah. Okay, maybe, I don't know. Okay, so it's measurable, right? It has dimensions, it has shapes, it has a place. Ve'echuso uma'alaso, and its quality, its echos, its quality. Uma'alaso, and its you know, it's Maila. It's advantage. It's purpose. It's goal. It's place in the world. Hu Oro is its light. Right? That's its Maila. That's its Madrega. That's what it's about. Gam Kein Yesh Lo Gavul. But its light also has limits. At Kama Yuchel Lahayir. How far can the light shine? Ki Lo Ya'ir Levilti Tachlis Me'achashu Nivra. It can't shine endlessly, infinitely, because it's a created being. It's a very powerful created being. I would say the sun is much more powerful, right, than the sticky pad on my desk, right? But they're both created beings, and therefore they both are perceived as being limited. The sun is very powerful, much more so than that piece of paper. But it's a created being. It's not limitless. Hashem has given it limitations or a perception of being limited. V'chein kol ha'nivram, the same thing is true about all created beings, heim bali gvul v'tachlis, right? I hate to break it to everyone here, but one day, you know, life is going to end. Ki me'aretz l'rekia mahalich tofkov shana. And there's space and there's time, like we spoke about last time. The distance from the aretz to the rekia, from the earth to the heaven, the Gemara says, is a distance of 500 years. A 500-year journey is the distance from Shemayim to Aretz. Okay, from Rakia to Aretz. And then there's Rakia, and then there's a higher Rakia, and a higher Rakia. But again, these are all various Tzimtzumim. V'imken, and if so, Hachayis ha-melubeshes behem hi-bachina Tzimtzum rava atzum. So that life force that is contained within, which again is that essence of Hashem, it has to be hidden. Otherwise, it's just going to be too powerful. It has to be perceived as being what? As being contracted. Of being limited, even though it's really limitless. Kitzricha tchila lisamtsim tzimtzumim rabim va'atzumim. It has to undergo many, many transformations, many, many contractions. Ad sheyeshava mikocha va'ora etzem ha'nivraim, kamos sheim balig vol v'tachlis. Until it comes down in the form of what? One of us. Or it comes down in the form of a blade of grass in this world. But it has to undergo tremendous, tremendous what? Tzimtzumim, or perceived tzimtzumim, in order to then manifest itself as what? As a rock. Ki mekor hachayis hu ruach piv shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because again, the root of its energy, its life force, is really nothing other than the word of the breath of Hashem. That comes, like we learned at the very beginning, from the Asar Ma'amaros Sheva Torah, from the original 10 Vayomers, when God first spoke and created the world through His speech. V'ruach piv yisparachai yachol lispashe la'ein keitz. And if Hashem would not constrict it, those words would just literally be endless, infinite, like Hashem Himself. Hashem is one with His ideas. Hashem is one with His words. It would be beyond any limitations. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to constrict it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to contract it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to find a way to make it manageable in this world, because again, if we knew that we were existing within the ball of the sun, the ray of light couldn't exist. I really want to finish the parak tonight, okay? So I'm just gonna jump a couple of lines down. I'm summarizing a little bit, but if you want to go through it slowly, you'll take a look. But I want to get to this last point. Again, it all starts with the breath of Hashem. Right? When I speak, I'm really breathing at the same time that I'm enunciating words. So let's create sort of this hierarchy. There's the Rabbono Sholem. There's Hashem Himself, right? Which of course is everything. And then Hashem what? Hashem breathes out. And as Hashem breathes out specific words, the original words of the Chumash. Vayomer Hashem says, Vayomer Elokim Yehior, Vayehior. God says, let there be light, and there's light. And then those letters start to come down. And those letters start to undergo what he's describing here from the Ruach Piv, look carefully. From the Ruach Piv, it starts to enclose itself in what? In letters. And then Sirufei Osios, exchanging the letters. The letters start to take on different shapes, right? The letters start to take on different arrangements, different orders. V'tzeirufei tzeirufeyan. And then those letters evolve, so to speak, further. B'chilufei utmuros, with exchanges, right? And transformations. that the letters undergo now a process of not only being the breath of God and the original letters of Hashem, but now it becomes what? It becomes transformed letters, exchange letters. And then it goes down further into almost a mathematical code, which is what he calls here cheshbonon u'misparon, and undergoes gematrias. So at the end of the day, it's so fascinating because when we study the scientific world, when we study the world in a scientific way, right, we're really just getting a zer anpin, a microcosm of this experience, right? I have an apple, and I want to understand the apple. And I start to unlock the DNA of the apple. I start to understand the genetic code of the apple. And at a certain point, the whole thing, which was once a shiny red apple that I could make a Brei Pri Eitz on and eat, all of a sudden it's been reduced to a number. Right? It's been reduced to a whole different language of saying apple, right? Instead of saying, water, I'm saying H2O. I'm finding other ways to express the same thing in some type of manifestation of that essential idea, but in some other way of communicating it. So that's exactly what's happening here, right? I mean, lahavdil, but mamish also. The Dvar Hashem is undergoing this transformation, right? That original Yehior somehow becomes this lamp on my desk, which is also Yehior. It's also, I flip the switch and Yehior, right? It's somehow rooted in those original letters of creation. But it had to undergo this transformation because if I was sitting in the presence of God speaking, it would be too much. Shekol chilof utmura mora al yiridas haor. That through every transformation, and that's what tzimtzum is, every tzimtzum means another layer of transformation, another exchange, right? Further concealing what it really is. Dahainu. Sheyuchol livro lahachayos bruim b'madregos eichusum alasam hipechusa mimadregos eichusum alas habruim anivram meosios v'tevos atzman shabasar ma'amaros. Right, the way that it exists as the asar ma'amaros, as those words of the chumash, is of greater quality, of greater substance than the way that it exists as manifest through these exchanges. Shabahen mislabe shakolish baruchu bechvodo v'atzo. And again, if you would just follow it, if you would just look more deeply into it, deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, if I could see through all the layers, all the exchanges, all the levushim, this little big pen that I bought in Staples, it's mamish nothing other than a Kodesh Baruch Hu, if I could just see it that way. Obviously, it's undergone tremendous transformations to the point that it's a physical object I can hold in my hand. But at its essence, Eino Mavado. At its essence, it's filled with elokus. It's filled with godliness. Also, my pen is God. No. Sovev kol almin. Hashem somehow remains above it while filling all of it as well. And therefore, through these transformations, the cheshbon mora almir or vachios, when it undergoes a numerical transformation, that's a further contraction, a shrinking of that light, a further concealment of that chayus, of that life force, of that energy. Miut achar miut. Right, shrinking it further and further. Again, a perception of shrinking it further and further. Achelo nishar imenu ele bechina achrona, until it becomes whatever that last manifestation of it is. Sometimes it's a person, sometimes it's a bird, sometimes it's a rock. But each one of these things is nothing other than what? Than transformed light of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, transformed essence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, says the Baal HaTanya, let's wrap. V'achar ko tzimtzum ma'eilav k'yotze behen. All of these transformations, if they're going through all of these changes, kasher gozra chachmaso yisbarach, which Hashem has in His infinite wisdom, that it should reach a certain point and it should stop at that point. Hu shahayachol ha'or v'achayus lislabish gam b'tachtonim. It's in this and only in this way that the essence of Hashem, that light of Hashem, what can enclose itself in this lower realm, and it's real. It really is Hashem's realm. It's not a Hashem looking down from us from above. Hashem knows that this big pen exists, and Hashem is one with that knowledge, which means in a certain sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is this big pen that I hold in my hand. And we say that with a delicate and sensitive understanding of what that means. Of course, I don't worship the object. But you start to understand a little more where an idol worship could come from. Right? That if everything is really just reflecting a higher reality, so then why don't I dive into this pen? If Einod Milvado, if it's truly God. So we have to live sort of in this dual reality. We have to live in Yehuda Ilah and Yehuda Tata. We have to live within Mamale Kol Almin. Hashem is absolutely present in the lower realms, and yet, Soviv Kol Almin. I have to make sure that I keep Hashem somehow beyond at the same time. So therefore, it's only after all of these simtsumim and all of these chilufim and all of these cheshbonos that I'm able to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essential life force is able to what? To enclose itself in this lowest realm. Even ba'avanim, va'afar, v'domim, even in dirt, even in rocks, right? An evan, what is an evan, he says? I'll tell you what an evan is. An evan comes from the shame ben, beis nun. If you write out yud, ke, vav, ke, one of the ways to spell out yud, hey, and vav, and hey, is gematria 52. And then Hashem adds an aleph nosefes mishem acher, an aleph taken from another name of God. Latam yidu liyoto, and only Hashem knows how and why Hashem chose to make a rock in that way. But somehow, that shame, beis nun, ba'atzmo, in the olamos elyonim ma'od, somehow comes down, it joins up with an aleph, and somehow it comes out as an evan, a rock, literally a rock you could hold in your hand, and you could skip across a lake. And yet somehow that's rooted in the highest of the highest of the highest. And that is the concept of Bechinas Mamale Kolamin, Masha'en Kein Bechinas Sovev Kolamin. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, existing within the object Mamish, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains beyond. Now, the final point, says the Baal HaTanya. So if so, does that mean, if I understand what something is at its essence, does that mean that it has infinite ability? And the answer, as always, is going to be yes and no. In a certain sense, if we knew who we were, we're created B'Tselem Elokim, right? We're created in the image of Elokim. And the Shulchan Aruch says Elokim means the Baal HaKochos Kulam, the one who all power is his. In a certain sense, if we knew the essence, if we knew ourselves the way that Hashem knows himself, we would also have access to infinity. But it's hidden from us. And that's part of the struggle, and that's part of the game. On the one hand, knowing that we can never fully grasp our own essence, and by extension, obviously, like we said, lo machshav asayim machshav aseichem, not grasping the essence of Hashem. However, v'kol kavach u'madrega yachol livro bruim kafi b'chinas madrega zo. Every created being, each power, each various grade of life has within it what, so to speak, the ability to reproduce. In other words, gam kein la'ein keitz v'tachlis bekamusam ve'echusam la'chayos ha'de'ad. In a certain sense, if I really see myself as nothing other than an extension of Hashem's infinity, so just like Hashem is infinite, I'm also infinite. I could also be endlessly creative, both in quality and quantity. Why? Me'achar shuhu koach Hashem ha'mispashed v'netzal mi'ruach piv. Because in truth, I'm one with the Dvar Hashem, which is infinite. V'ein ma'atzur. And there's no restraint. There's nothing stopping me from also being infinite. Ela shelo yeh echusam b'mayla gedola kol kach b'echus u'mayla subruim sheyuchul hibros v'mechinas koch madregas ha'osios atzvan. But again, that's part of the checks and balances that all of these exchanges create. The creative energies that exist in an exchanged creation is going to be less, it's going to be diminished from the way that it exists at its essence. So in other words, the letters of Hashem, as coming from the Ruach Piv, have the most power. Once they're exchanged, they have a little less power. Once they're exchanged again, they have less power. Exchanged letters have less power than the actual letters. Numbers have less power than even exchanged letters. So there's sort of this checks and balances that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into place, creating sort of this inferiority, right, to the things of this world. And creating those limitations, which again allows for life to exist itself. But again, this is an unbelievable delicate balance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing us to have a sneak peek of. Again, we don't really grasp it at all. But again, on a practical avoda level, and again, we're going to have to still come back a little bit more to Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Li'olam Ve'ed. But to be able to say that Hashem wants me, on the one hand, to be that ray of light who thinks he exists outside of the sun. And because I think I'm an independent being, I make choices. My mitzvos matter. Chas v'shalom, my averos matter. When I daven, it matters. When I do chesed, it matters. The things I do matter. And I'm an individual. And I'm not the same as the other person. I have to be true to my individual self. And yet, I have to somehow negate all of that to bring all of that back to its shoresh, right? to try to see it as Enor Mavado, and to see simultaneously a Mamale Kolamen and a Sovev Kolamen. Okay? It's a hard thing to wrap our heads around, but that's the Avoda. That's the Avoda. All right. All right, Chavar, let's stop here for tonight.